Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'a Dalet, we're holding by the beginning of Perek Beis, the second chapter. Now we left off the last time speaking about, we understand that to learn Torah Lishmo, with pure intentions or for the right intentions, we understand that's a very, very powerful thing. It's a wonderful gift a person gets from the heavens because he's learning Torah for the right reasons. It makes the world of difference. If he isn't doing it for the right reasons, he still has the mitzvah. He's learning Torah, he has the mitzvah regardless, whether he has the right reasons or not. And we mentioned that a few times already. If a person is doing the basic mitzvah, he's got the mitzvah. He's putting on tefillin, he's eating matzah, he's waving a lulav, whatever it is, he's got the mitzvah. But the intentions make a huge, huge difference. It adds extra worlds to whatever he's doing. It adds extra dimensions to what he's doing. So the question is, what is it to do Lishmo? So we brought at the end of last class that there are some people who mistakenly think that to do Lishmo means to do with a tremendous excitement and vacus, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And moreover, he says that these people think that if a person doesn't have this intention, it's worth nothing. So firstly, that's a mistake. And the first thing is also a mistake. To do mitzvahs with to do learning Torah with tremendous excitement and inspiration and feeling, with a lot of feeling, with a lot of emotion, is going to show that that's not really what the Torah means by Lishmo. Right? Even though that also is a ma'ala, to do it with a tremendous emotion, with a tremendous feeling, excitement, that is a ma'ala. That is also has importance, but that's not what the Torah is referring to. So he says like this, Inyan Eisek HaTorah Lishmo, the idea of doing learning Torah for its own sake, Lishmo, for its sake, Ha'emes HaBor, the clear truth is, Ki Lishmo Ein Perusha Dveikus. The explanation of doing it Lishmo, with the right intention, does not mean with clinging to Hashem, with attaching yourself to Hashem. K'mo She'sovim Ata Reiv Ha'olam, as most people nowadays think. They think if you do it with tremendous cleaving to Hashem, with a tremendous excitement, a lot of emotion, that's called Lishmo. And that's not correct. Shehare Amru Rabbi Seinu Zal, because our sages of blessed memory have said, the Midrash, they said as follows, Shebikesh David HaMelech Alav HaShalom in the front of Yisbrach. We see that David HaMelech asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'oisik B'Tehillim, that someone who engages in Tehillim, Yechashiv Etzlo Yisbrach, Ki'ilu Hu Hayoisik B'Ginogoyim Oilim. It says David HaMelech asked that someone who learns Tehillim, someone who recites Tehillim, or is engaged in Tehillim, so Hashem should count it as if he is occupied with Negoim, the laws of Tzaras, types of leprosy, which are very, very complex laws, very intricate laws, and require a lot of toil, a lot of hard work to sort of just understand what's going on. You have to really work hard, you have to really exert yourself to really understand those Gemaras. So that's Negoim and Oyelois, the laws of tents. Tents is also a very difficult section of the Halacha. They're laws when we have a corpse underneath the roof. So the question is, right, so therefore, when there's a corpse underneath the roof, we say that anything else under the same roof also becomes Tomei, becomes ritually impure. So let's say you have a corpse, and let's say you have a suitcase full of clothing, and they're both under the same roof, so therefore the contamination from the corpse, which goes up and reaches the ceiling, will now make contaminated anything that's under the same ceiling. But there are a lot of details in those laws as well. They're not easy laws at all. There's all sorts of different combinations, all sorts of different questions. So these are sections. These two sections which you mentioned here are sections which are representative of toiling in Torah at its best. You know, the difficult sections that need exertion. You have to exert yourself. You have to think it over very, very carefully. You have to mutter it. You have to chew on it a lot before you really understand what's going on there. So we have a midrash that says that David HaMelech asked that being busy with Tehillim should get the same merit. So the fact that David had to ask for such a thing means that the fact that he ought to ask for it means it's not the case. And as we understand that learning, exerting yourself fully to understand something very deeply in Halacha, in the Gemara, is a higher level. And the reason it's a high level simply is because there's more of exertion, there's more of a connection. You have to mamish, put your whole head to it. You have to put your full focus on to just to understand what's going on. You have to listen very, very carefully and read it very carefully and think about it. So we understand that that's a higher connection. The fact that he asked that learning Tehillim or saying Tehillim should be like that level, we understand that level is a much higher level. And that was that was a request of his. It was not something that's automatically true. Harisha Aisik the Hilchas Shas, but even Vigiyah, so we see that engaging in the laws of the Shas with deep thought and with toiling, who inyan yoise naalev ahuv lefonov yisporch, is something that's more elevated and more beloved to Hashem, mi'amir tehillim, than saying tehillim. So therefore, we see here clearly that this is they're not the same level, and they're not naturally the same level. Now, the observation we make from the Midrash is as follows. And if you're going to say to learn for the right intentions means to learn with cleaving to Hashem, with tremendous emotion, with excitement, and it's only this type of learning on which occupation in Torah depends. It depends on learning with tremendous amount of excitement, emotion. We know that there's nothing as amazing for connecting with Hashem like Tehillim. Tehillim is full of emotion. It's songs and poems to Hashem, love songs. So Tehillim represents a height of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if Lishmo means Dveikus, clinging to Hashem, so Tehillim should be the height. There should be nothing as high as Tehillim. And yet here we see David HaMelech ask that Tehillim should be as high as learning the Shas, learning the Halachas, learning the Umorah. So we see that obviously Tehillim doesn't reach that level. So therefore it must be that having that clinging, that cleaving is not considered Lishmo. That's not the right intention. The right intention doesn't mean that you're cleaving, you're saying with excitement, with emotion. Okay, and therefore that's one of these proofs. Now on the contrary, when you learn those laws, like we mentioned before, you learn those laws of the Nagoyim and Oyelois, which are very difficult laws, you have to be fully focused. You can't start hopping and jumping around and singing while you do it and shockling, right? You have to actually focus tremendously just to understand what's going on. So it's tremendous exertion, but it's nothing to do with thinking about Hashem while you do it. You can't think about Hashem while you're learning those things because they're so difficult. You got to be totally focused on one thing. You can't think of two things at the same time. You can't be thinking of Hashem as you're learning Oyelus and you're learning the Goyim. You have to be totally, totally focused on Hashem. Moreover, he says like this: "V'gam mi yodei im hiskima Kodesh Baruch Hu al yodei b'zeh." Who says that Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed to this? You said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it. David HaMelech asked that Tehillim, saying Tehillim would be like learning very difficult Gemaras, but we never see the Midrash that he got a response. Hashem never said, fine, okay, let's count it like you said. There was no response for it. All we know that he asked for it. We don't know that he got a response. Ki lo matzina bidivrei chazal. We don't find in the words of the sages anyway. Matshuve yeshiva lo yisboch al shelosa. What Hashem answered him on his question. So therefore, the way the Gemara leaves it, David asked for it, but he didn't get an answer. So normally when you don't get an answer, that means the answer is no. You don't get an answer, it means no. So David may have never got that answer. So we understand that learning with tremendous exertion and intense concentration is something that is higher. Now that's not to say that reciting Tehillim isn't very, very valuable, it's very, very precious. And in fact, one of the ways we connect to Hashem is with prayer. Prayer can be a very, very intense experience. A person can connect to Hashem on tremendous levels with prayer. You know, he thinks about Hashem, he talks to Hashem, he cries to Hashem, he prays to Hashem. That's a tremendous level. But that's not Torah. That's not Torah. We say that Torah is the highest of them all. And Torah seems to be this type of focus and exertion is the true Torah, is the highest type of Torah. V'gam ki haya dai le'inyan advekus b'maseches achas. Moreover, if the idea of learning Lishmo means to learn with tremendous excitement and cleaving to Hashem, it would be enough to learn one tractate. Imagine if you learn the same tractate over and over and over, you get a tremendous connection with it. So learning it again, learning it the 50th time or the 100th time, there's a tremendous amount of emotion that you can put into that because you know it so well already. So you pour it out like a song almost. It's just like when you sing a song. If it's a song that you know, then you feel emotion when you sing it. If it's a brand new song you've never sung before, it's hard to feel emotional about new songs. An old song that's a favorite from way back, from years ago, so you can sing it with emotion. So therefore, if learning was about clinging to Hashem in terms of with excitement, with emotion, so then we should learn a single Masechet. Or Perek, or maybe just one chapter of it. We shouldn't be learning a whole Masechet. Let's just learn one chapter over and over again. Or Mishnah, let's learn a single Mishnah. Just take one Mishnah, repeat it, and you can actually have a tremendous connection. It's almost like a mantra. It can be like a mantra. So those people who meditate, they get very, very attached to an idea. They're going to some sort of a trance. So that would be a tremendous cleaving, maybe. So therefore, maybe something that you'd repeat over and over that you're familiar with. Right? He should learn one thing all his life. And we know you get reward for learning Torah. If you learn even one Mishnah over and over again, I mean, all Torah is Torah. Even if it's the same thing that you've heard 1,000 times, it's still Torah. But there's another obligation in Torah. There's an obligation in Torah in terms of knowing the whole Torah. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah, and then there's another mitzvah to know the Torah, which means to know the whole width of the Torah. And this, right, the rabbis never told us such a thing. Just take one mission and learn it over and over again. Or take one tractate and learn it over and over again. We don't find such a thing. When they praise Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is like our supreme example of a Talmud Chacham. He was the leader of his generation. He's the one basically who saved the Jewish people when the Second Temple was being destroyed. So that the Jewish people shouldn't be fully destroyed. He was the one who was able to save the situation and to save the Jewish people in a Torah perspective. He saved the Sanhedrin, he saved the Tzaddikim, and he saved the Torah scholars. So he was one. He's one of our supreme examples of a Talmud Chochem. And about him, the Gemara says in Sukkah, Shelo Niach Mikra Mishnah Lochus Agodus. There was nothing he left unlearned. He learned absolutely everything. The Gemara even goes on there and brings that he even knew the secrets of the Torah, all areas of the Torah. He covered every single area of the Torah. And that's the praise of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And that would be, what would force him? What would push him to learn everything? Because we know that he was considered a man of quality and quantity. He was like the absolute role model of a Torah scholar. And the reason that he'd be learning everything would be because he was motivated, he was pushed, because he was feeling that he hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation. Unless he covers everything, unless he learns everything, he hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation. There's still parts of the Torah that he hasn't seen, so he hasn't seen it all. He hasn't yet covered it all. He has not yet fulfilled his obligation of learning as he should be learning in the best possible way until he learns everything. So therefore we see that would be part of the requirement. Part of the requirement is not the excitement of the learning or the cleaving of the learning, but it's got to do with covering ground, it's got to do with knowing, it's got to do with acquiring the Torah. And this is why he was dwelling on this. He was engaged with this. He invested in this. He invested his life into this, all of his life, to always add more knowledge. Miyom leyom mishal leshat. Day by day, just can't let it alone. Day by day, because there's just so much. There's just so much Torah, and moment by moment, not to even let moments go to waste. Now, so Rav Weintraub here brings with his notes here at the bottom, he says that it's essentially the reward of the world to come. The world to come is a tremendous joy. There's tremendous happiness, and ultimate happiness really comes from new ideas, chidushim. When you hear something new, you're excited to hear something new. Something that you've heard, you doesn't excite you, but something that's brand new, wow, really, we get excited by new ideas. So therefore, it's hearing the new idea that excites a person. And that's really the happiness and the joy of the world to come is more and more Torah. Hashem reveals more and more of His Torah. That the Torah itself is endless, as Hashem Himself is endless. And Hashem, part of the pleasure of the world to come is Hashem just shows us another idea, another aspect of the Torah, and that's all part of what Torah is. That's really the ultimate Olam Haba, is this attachment we have to Torah, because that's the ultimate joy. Another source of Bemishle Rabso. Brings here another source from the Mishle Rabso. Omer Bishmuel Bore Kame Koshe Yomadin. Here comes another source for the same idea, that really learning Torah in the best possible way is about knowing Torah and covering all the Torah and covering as much as possible. So therefore Rabbi Shmuel says, Bore Kame Koshe Yomadin. Come and see how harsh is the day of judgment. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the entire world. Each individual is judged by Hashem. Each individual has to be judged by Hashem. He's going to be cross-examined. He's going to be questioned. Will come someone in front of Hashem who's always learned, he's always been reading the Chumash. He says always goes through the Parsha. And he goes through the Parsha every week. So it doesn't just mean he's going through the verses. Because if a person just learns the verses of the Torah without understanding some of the Torah Shebal Peh, some of the explanations, some of the Rashi, if you don't learn Chumash, if you just read Chumash without ever reading any of the commentaries, so then that would be like a heretic, right? The heretics only believe in the written Torah, not the oral Torah. So therefore, comes someone who's learned Chumash, means he's learned it with a little bit of the explanations, he's learned with some of the Rashi, with some of the commentaries. So it comes before us. So this is what it says about the Day of Judgment. It will come before Hashem, someone who's only learned Chumash, but he hasn't learned Mishnah. So here, Mishnah doesn't necessarily mean Mishnah. It means he's learned basic laws, basic halachas. He's learned the laws. He's learned a bit of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he's learned, you know, practical laws. He's been through the practical law guides. He never had that. He learned Chumash, but he never learned practical law. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feches ponav mimeno. Hashem turns his face away from such a person. Person comes to Hashem, says, yeah, well, my whole life I was reading Chumash. Hashem turns his face away from me. They won't look at him. Hashem won't look at him. So therefore, Mitzari Gehenem Mizgabri Mubo, and the pain, Hashem turns away from this person, and the pangs of Gehenem, the pain and the suffering, the tortures of Gehenem start overcoming such a person. So obviously talking about someone who could have learned more than just reading the Chumash. He could have done more. Not talking about someone who was stuck in Siberia with nothing to learn. So therefore, someone who could have learned, but all he learned was Chumash, Hashem is upset with him, and the Gehenim takes over, etc. Now it goes on, they take him, they thrust him, they throw him into Gehenim. They take this person who's only learned Chumash, and they throw him into Gehenim. Then comes someone who has learned a little bit of Mishnah, he has learned some halacha, he's learned some of the Mishnahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer Lo Bini, Kol Halachos Lama Lo Shenisa. Then Hashem says to him, my son, why didn't you learn all of the halachas? At least here we see Hashem is prepared to talk to him. But the first guy, Hashem turns his face away from him. He won't even look at him. But this guy says, at least he's learned. He did learn Mishnah. He did involve himself in learning halachas. So then Hashem says to him, my son, why didn't you learn all the halachas? Why didn't you learn all the halachas? Why did you only learn some of them? He learned a third. He learned a quarter. Why didn't you learn it everything? Right? So therefore we see that's the claim. Then the teaching goes on and says, Bo Mishiyesh Biyodah Halochas, someone who has learned all of the Halochas. Right, he finished all the Mishnahs, he finished all the Halochas, he knows the Halochas well. Omele Bini, Teres Kohanim Lama Lushanis. So then he says, why haven't you learned Teres Kohanim? Teres Kohanim is the midrashim, the halachic midrashim that we've got in the book of Vayikra, which teaches a lot of the extra details, more of the intricacies of the halachas. So he says, why haven't you learned Teres Kohanim? Okay, you learned all the Mishnahs, very nice, but why haven't you learned Teres Kohanim, which is the next level? Why don't you go up to the next level? Why don't you learn that as well? Then comes another person who has learned Teres Kohanim. He learned Chumash, and he did all the Mishnas, and he's learned Teres Kohanim. Kodesh Boch, Oymer Bini, Chamisha, Chumshe, Teri, Lama, Lushanisa. Hashem says, yeah, why, the five books of the Torah, why haven't you learned them with the Torah Shebal Peh, with the oral Torah? Why haven't you learned them with the proper depth? Now, there are also midrashim on the Torah, on the Chamisha Chumash Torah, like the Mechilta and the Sifri and the Sifro, and these are also further works which elaborate on the depths of the Chumash. So he says, yes, my son, you learned Mishnah, it's very nice, you read the Chumash, but why haven't you learned the five books of the Torah properly, with the Torah Shebal Peh? Lama Lo Shenisa, Shesh Ben Krishma, V'Tfilah, V'Mezuzahs. It has in there, if you learn the Chumash properly, you learn all the laws of the reciting Krishma, you learn the laws of the Tefillin, you learn the laws of Mezuzah, you learn a lot of the depths of the Halacha. So then the teaching goes on and says, Bo Mishiyesh Biyodu Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Come someone who has learned all of that learning. He did learn the Mechilta, and he did learn the Sifri and the Sifra, etc. Oim LaKodesh Bohu, Lama Lo Lamadata Agadata. Agada. When you learn the midrashim, the agadata, the stories of the right, all the midrashim, which is all the stories of the gedolim, which we have in the midrash. Why do you learn the midrash, etc.? Right, we're not bringing the whole thing. Bo mishi yosh biado agada hagada. Someone who has learned the midrashim, has learned the agadata. Kodesh Baruch Hu even the Talmud lama lo lamadta. This is why do you learn shas? Shas really is about asking questions about everything that we learn. We learn a certain halacha. So the question, when you have questions, we question the halacha. Why is the halacha like this and not like that? Why is this detail important? Why is that detail important? In other words, to really understand the Torah, you have to learn the Talmud. You have to learn the Shas, which explores the different avenues, the different areas, the different reasons for the halacha. So therefore, we only learn the reasons really when we learn the Shas, when you learn the Talmud, you learn the Mefarshim. So then Hashem says, all right, you learned Haggadah, you learned the Chumash, you learned Chumash, you read the Chumash, you learned Mishnah, it's very nice, but when do you learn Shas? When do you learn Talmud? Bomi sheyesh biyad Talmud. So then comes along someone who learned Shas. Kodesh Baruch Hu Oymer Los, Hashem says to Bini, Hoyel v'yisasakta b'Talmud. If you're already learning Talmud, which requires deep study, requires an investigative mind, right, and a thinking mind, and this person knows how to think deeply. So if you've already been occupied with Talmud, say peace l'bemekova, were you looking out for the chariot? In other words, were you already moving in? Because once you learn the depths of the Torah, so then once you move into the depths of the Torah and understanding the depths of halacha, then by naturally you will, as a natural consequence, you should naturally go into the depths of the mystical side of the Torah. No, the divine chariot. Kisek kvoidi heyach oimed, my throne of glory, how does that stand? Chashmal heyach oimed, this angel that's called Chashmal, how does he, what's his position? Become upon him whom is hapech. How many ways does Chashmal turn? Is a special angel that has turns in all different directions. Ein shamboyer. So he's just quoting from this teaching. But we see that really the requirement is that a person has to be learning the maximum that he can learn. And he has to be covering ground. And he has to have information. He has to cover the ground. He has to know what there is out there. So we see that this is essential to learning Torah, that a person covers ground. There's an analogy that's brought of a person who once, you know, got a bit of money, got some gift money, and, you know, he thought, you know, my clothes are a little bit tatty, so I've got this money, I'm going to go get myself some nice clothes. So he went to the clothing store, and he started looking around. So he started with the hats. He looked at the hats. So he saw a very nice hat. Very expensive hat, but a very, very nice hat. So how much was that hat? The hat was all the money he had. So if he's just going to buy the hat with the money, he's got money. If he's going to use all his money just for a hat, it's going to be ridiculous. He's got this beautiful hat, but he's got tatty clothing. If you haven't got that much money, so at least get a cheaper hat and get a nice suit and get yourself some shoes as well. Don't buy the most expensive hat. Don't use up all your money on a hat. But get yourself a suit. Get yourself some new shoes as well. You'll buy cheaper clothes, not the most expensive clothes, but at least you'll look nice. So the same thing, a person should use his resources. A person who maybe is not a top scholar, but he should be using his time, his resources, to covering the whole of the Torah. It's not enough just he learns one thing all his life. One thing he learns and he learns nothing else. Like the guy who just buys a hat. So he learns one thing. We shouldn't have this embarrassment of only coming into the world to come with very little knowledge. We should try and cover as much as possible to cover the breadth of the Torah. Okay, Rav Chaim now goes on. So this is also logical that this is really what Hashem would want, that we'd be covering his whole Torah. We see the many, many different laws right through Shas. That when a person will engage himself, these halachas, a person will learn it to the best of his ability. In order to learn these halachas, if a person is learning as he should be learning, he's going to have to think deeply, he's going to have to exert his thoughts, he's going to have to think about it, and he has to use his intellect in matters of in terms of just the technicalities of it, you know, in terms of understanding how it is, what sort of thing is it, right? Let's say you learn the laws of Shabbos, so you learn about cooking. So what's cooking, right? Cooking with pot. You have to actually learn what's the scenario, what's the case, right? A person put a meat, put it in a pot, he had a fire like this, he had a fire like that. He has to actually go into the intricacies, right? He wants to learn the laws of Shabbos, he wants to learn the laws of Tefillin. So Tefillin, you need the hide of an animal, and the hide of an animal has to be tanned in a certain way. So they're halachas, so you have to actually get into the nitty-gritty. So it's not all about clinging to Hashem and thinking lofty thoughts and floating through the heavens, because you have to actually understand the reality, which is the basis of the halacha. Kegoyim, kinim, pischein, denida, shenheim, gufei halachas, right? One of the sections of halacha deals with kinim. Kinim is nests, right? We know for certain types of tumah, certain types of contamination, a person brings a pair of doves to the base of Migdash. So there are all sorts of questions there. There was a case where the Mishnah goes into a case where a person set aside two doves, and then one flew away, or it got mixed up with other doves, and he's not sure. Well, he's got these doves. These doves have been sanctified, but they went and got up mixed up with other doves. So there's all sorts of questions. Where are his doves that he sanctified? Can he bring these doves instead of these doves? All sorts of questions, all sorts of scenarios. One flew away, and then another one came back. Did the one that came back, is it the same one that flew away? Was it someone else? Is it another dove that came? So there's all sorts of scenarios, which are complex scenarios. That if you want to learn the law, you have to understand those different scenarios. Or Nida, also laws of the Nida, right? ritual impurity, right? Laws of nida, shehenem gufa halachas. These are all part of the body of halachas. Or hamas of a matan this shas. Or if you have a dispute in the shas, you have one rabbi saying like this, one rabbi saying like that, and you can have a whole debate. You have a whole debate between Abai and Rava, different rabbanim. You have to get into nitty gritty. What's he saying? What's Abai saying? What's Rava saying? Why are they arguing? Why do they disagree with each other? What is the source for Abai? What is the source for Rava? So therefore, all of this requires exertion. It requires a knowing, just knowing the reality of it. What's the reality of the argument? Kaladina migwe shel remois. Also, the laws of migo of someone who's a trickster. If a person comes and tries to deceive, someone comes to he's a trickster, he's a cheat. Comes to court to try and deceive the court. He wants to try and trick someone into giving him money, and he makes all sorts of claims. You have to understand the basis of a claim. A person says, "Believe me when I say this, because I could have said that." So there is such an argument. Sometimes a person says an unbelievable claim, but he could have said something that would have been believable, and then we would have believed the other claim. So let's believe the unbelievable claim because he could have just said the believable claim. So that's called migo. And there's also, it's also a complex area of halacha to understand what is amiga, where does it apply, where does it apply? Ukimat bilti afshar she'etzlo az gam hadveikus mishlemes kruy. So therefore it would be impossible that if a person is learning properly, that he's also floating through the heavens at the same time, and he's cleaving to Hashem with excitement, with emotion, etc. It just doesn't work together. There's the nitty-gritty of knowing the Torah. So we're starting now chapter 3, Perek Gimel, Aval ha'emes. The truth is as follows. Ki inyan alishmo perush. Now what is the, so he's telling us what lishmo is not. Learning with the right intention is not about clinging to Hashem and being excited and emotional. Because we see it can't just be that. So what does it mean to learn for this lishmo, for the right intentions? What is the right intention? What is lishmo? So he says the explanation is the shem ha-Torah. It means to learn Torah for the sake of the Torah. To learn Torah for the sake of the Torah. Va'inin kamoshi pirush ha-Rosh. And this is actually how the Rosh, one of the Rishonim, explains the Gemara al Maimer Reb Lozov in Tzadik, concerning a teaching of Reb Lozov of Tzadik. In the Gemara in Nadorim, Reb Lozov of Tzadik says, "Ose dvorim l'shem pa'alan, do things for the sake of the Creator, act for the sake of the Creator, which means l'shmo shel Hakadosh Baruch for the sake of Hashem, shepal kol l'manehu, who created all for His own sake. When it comes to performing mitzvahs, perform the mitzvahs for the sake of Hashem, who created the world, right? Hashem gave us a world, and He gave us mitzvahs to do. He gave us tasks to do this world. He gave us duties. He gave us different instructions. So do the mitzvahs of Hashem for the sake of Hashem, who created this world. But dabe behen lishman, and speak them for their own sake. But when it comes to speak the words of the Torah, speak the words of Hashem's instructions, speak the words of the Torah for the sake of the Torah. All of your words and all of your discussion when it comes to Torah, your debate when it comes to Torah, must be for the sake of Torah, which means and what it means, you're learning for the sake of the Torah, you're learning and for the sake of understanding and knowing. You learn so that you could understand and know. So that's called learning for the sake of the Torah. The Torah is given for us to understand and know. It's not given us to just to daven. You don't just daven the Torah without knowing anything. You just rattle off the words without understanding anything. We understand that that's not learning. A person picks up a Gemara, he can't understand two words, so he starts davening, he starts reading it. So like in 5 minutes he can read a whole page of Gemara without understanding a single word, and he just goes through, davens the whole Gemara. He can daven the whole Shas without understanding a single word. So we understand to learn the Torah for the sake of the Torah means for the sake of understanding the Torah and connecting with the Torah, to know what the Torah is saying, to know what it's saying, to understand what it's saying. But lohesiv lekach upilpan, the person through learning properly, he adds to his insight, he adds to his wisdom, he adds to his own sharpness, he understands things better, he becomes sharp, he sees things with a more sharp eye, he becomes familiar with it, you become familiar with the material and you understand it much better. But lo lekantel is gois, but one should never be learning in order to quarrel or in order to show off. And so that's called learning the Torah for the sake of the Torah. It means learning the Torah in order to know the Torah. And that's what's called lishma. So he says something interesting here. And he's going to explain it now. He says that for mitzvahs, we should be doing mitzvahs for the sake of Hashem. When it comes to actions, right, like eating matzah or taking a lulav, keeping Shabbos, when you do perform mitzvahs, you must perform mitzvahs for the sake of the Creator who created this world. So performing mitzvahs for the sake of Hashem, learning Hashem's Torah is for the sake of the Torah, which means for the sake of knowing the Torah. We must know the Torah, we must understand the Torah. Diktek levayir shinui l'shoyne de Rebbe Lozov ben Tzadik. So therefore, we see that the Rosh who explained what we just said now, is being exact in terms of understanding the words of Rav Loza Ber Tzadik. The Rosh's explanation comes from this teaching of Rav Loza Ber Tzadik. When it came to doing mitzvahs, performing mitzvahs, he said, do mitzvahs l'shem pa'alan. Do mitzvahs for the sake of the Creator who made these mitzvahs, who made us this world and gave us these mitzvahs. And when it comes to the words of Hashem, to know the words of Hashem, to know the Torah of Hashem, when it comes to understanding the Torah of Hashem, so then we have to know the Torah of Hashem is for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of the words. You have to know the words for the sake of the words in order to understand the Torah. Learning Torah is about understanding the Torah. That's why I explained that when it comes to doing mitzvahs, performing mitzvahs, it's for the sake of Hashem. Shepal Hakol Lemaneh, who created it all for his own sake. We said that Hashem created this world for his own sake, for his own glory. But when it comes to learning, Pirish Leshemata, then we have to be learning for the sake of the Torah, which means for learning, for understanding the Torah. The Kavonos Zal Mavua. Now the intention is clear. When we perform a mitzvah, obviously we should try to perform mitzvah in the best possible way. You do a mitzvah, you want to do it in the best possible way. But Vekus Umachshava Tahir, you want to do it with, when you perform a mitzvah, you see, you perform it within the excitement, with emotion. You do it with, right there. When it comes to performing a mitzvah, you should do it with your heart. You serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, with your full heart. So therefore, you get excited about it, you get attached to it. So therefore, you put on tefillin, or you daven, or you take a lulav, or you eat matzah, you should do it with love. Let's say when it comes to eating matzah, there's some rabbis say you should. There's a custom. There's those who have the custom before they eat the mitzvah, they kiss the matzah. Before you eat the matzah, you kiss the matzah. Here's a mitzvah. You're about to do a mitzvah of eating matzah, and then you kiss it because it's dear to you. You're trying to get in the right mood. So when it comes to performing mitzvahs, which are sort of mechanical acts, that you should be doing with emotion. You should be for the glory of Hashem, for the sake of Hashem. So you should show your intensity, your love for Hashem. Your love should come through in the action. Your love of Hashem, your respect for Hashem. So that's dveikus, with clinging to Hashem, machshava tahir, with pure thoughts, machshava tahir shebetahiris, right? The purest possible thoughts, kefi sichla asagos, according to your intellect, according to where you understand things, according to your grasp. Kadesh is kalis ilo, you want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, you want to honor Hashem. So that the purpose of the mitzvah is to honor Hashem, to give glory to Hashem. Igrom tikune ulomus, which in turn, right, doing the mitzvahs properly, creates the correction of upper worlds. It creates the upper, sets the upper worlds in order, puts them in the right place. Igrom tikune ulomus, person repairs upper worlds. Ukoichus is story milyoin, he's able to release the forces from upper worlds and the different types of energies. Different types of energies now come down to the world in the correct way. If a person does a mitzvah in a better way, the better you do a mitzvah, the more of a correction you make to upper worlds, the more of a blessing you can bring down on this world. Zeh l'shem panam, that is to perform mitzvahs for the sake of the Creator, which is for the sake of the Creator and for the sake of the creation. And if we do mitzvahs with the best possible intention, then the creation is much better. And the way Kodesh Baruch Hu corrects the world is much better. Ki kol pol Hashem l'maneh, because we know whatever Hashem created was for His sake. For His sake, it's His pleasure to give us a world. He wants to give us a beautiful world, that we should enjoy His world. And we, by enjoying His world, using His world properly, we're gratifying Hashem. We're giving pleasure to Hashem. And that's He did it for His own. He gets the pleasure that we accept His gift and we enjoy His gift. So that's what it means to do the mitzvahs, to live in this world for the sake of Hashem. Which is that gives praise to Hashem. So we brought the analogy is as follows. Let's say a person makes a party for his friends, and he invites his friends over, and his friends come over and they have a wonderful time. So that's the simcha, that's the nachas of the host. The host is happy that his guests are all happy. The host's joy is the host's joy and pride is that his guests come to his house and they all have a wonderful time. So that's his praise. That's, you know, oh, look what a beautiful party I made. So the same thing, when we use this world in the right way, so then Hashem has nachas, and we do it for the sake of Hashem. Hashem has made a beautiful world for us, and we use it properly, with proper respect and with proper etiquette. You know, we behave ourselves properly in this world, so that gives Hashem a lot of pleasure. Look how they're enjoying our world. This world. Look how well they're using this world. So that gives Hashem nachas. So that's when it comes to performing mitzvahs. And even though, as we said before, when it comes to mitzvahs, the main aspect of mitzvahs is the actual performance of the mitzvahs, It's the technical performance of the mitzvah. The person has to do it. V'akavona ha'yaseh v'atoy ha'machshov v'ena ma'akev v'sklav. Just this extra purity of thought, this extra emotion and excitement, this extra heart that you add to your mitzvahs is not something that takes away from the mitzvah if you don't do it. It's not something that's absolutely essential. Kumon shizmele el, as we explained before, at the end of Shar Aleph. Right, him calls it. Nevertheless, mitzvah of kedusha v'torah. Nevertheless, the more emotion a person can put into performance of mitzvahs, physical mitzvahs, the more holiness and the more purity of thought that he can add to the mitzvahs. Likasiya b'foil, when he actually performs the mitzvahs, lo'irer b'foil b'tikunim yoyse gedolim u'ilom. So that certainly will arouse and effect different types of repairs in the highest of worlds. It will definitely have some sort of effect in the highest of worlds. That's for the benefit of the whole world. Whereas if he was just doing the mitzvah mechanically, he would fulfill his obligation, but it wouldn't have the same effect and wouldn't bring down the same blessing and affluence from the upper worlds. Okay, so that's in terms of performing mitzvah. So therefore, when it comes to performing mitzvahs, so that's what we said, that we do it for the sake of Hashem. Do what you do for the sake of the one who made the world. Do it for the sake of the Creator. So that's in terms of performing mitzvahs. There's room for excitement. There's room for doing it with feeling, etc. But when it comes to studying Torah, right? When you want to know the mitzvahs, you want to understand the rules of the mitzvahs, right? How do you perform the mitzvah tefillin? How do you do Netilas Yadayim? And what's the way you do Netilas? How do you light your Chanukiah? Which way do you light your Chanukiah? How do you perform the mitzvahs? So a person wants to know the laws of the mitzvahs. He wants to know the intricacies, the ins and outs. So then on that, the teaching says, when you speak about the laws of the mitzvahs, when you have to discuss the mitzvahs, you have questions to ask, and you have debates, and you have to try and understand all the details. So that is Yelishman. When it comes to Torah, you don't do it for the sake of Hashem, like with the mitzvahs, but you do it in order to understand the Torah. You learn Torah for the sake of the Torah, meaning you learn Torah to understand the Torah. Pirush l'shem ha'divrei Torah. You learn Torah for the sake of the Torah, that the Torah itself should, everything should be in place. The Torah itself should be arranged properly in your head. You have to arrange the words of Torah in your head. It's no good for the Torah to remain printed in the books. Person in my big library full of, you can buy a whole shas, you can buy the most amazing library, most nicest books, the best printing. Bookshelves and bookshelves of books, but if he doesn't ever learn the Torah, if it doesn't move from the books into his mind, into his thoughts, then it's a waste. People buy beautiful books and they decorate their house with these beautiful books, but that's not the objective of the books. The objective of the books is that we study, and to study we have to study with understanding. We have to understand what we're saying. There is a simcha a person gets when he learns properly. When you do something properly and you understand it, there's a joy in understanding what you're reading. You understand it suddenly makes sense. Something was cloudy, suddenly you put it together and all of a sudden it makes sense. It all gels together. There's a joy. There's a joy when you have an innovation. Not like we mentioned before, a person is learning the story and he understands a new idea, chidush. He has a chidush. He has a joy from that. But obviously the joy will come out of the understanding. It's not the joy. It doesn't start with a joy. It starts with a learning properly, and then from that can emerge joy.